Let's look in 1 Peter chapter 5. We preached out of 1 Peter chapter 5 last week on Satan being our adversary. But I want to look at a portion of Scripture over here. I did not intend to do this today. You know me, I always try and act to mind the Holy Spirit. But I want to look in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. I want you to stand to your feet. You know me, I try not to let songs influence what I'm going to preach. But I just be honest with you, I can't get away from this today. It seems like I'm so impressed as I stood up here that somebody is struggling today. And that was some things in your life. And listen, I don't know what it is, but 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You can be seated today. As we look at this passage of Scripture, as Peter is closing his book right here, and as he's closing this first epistle, and he tells us to humble ourselves that God might exalt us in due time in verse 6, and he warns us in that of our adversary in verses 8 and 9. I always found it just a little strange and a little odd that right here Peter stops and says, casting all you care upon Him, for He careth for you. If we'd be honest this morning, church, I believe there's many of us that have care and concerns that weigh us down. A lot of times, Hebrews chapter 12, he tells us over there, how the writer does, he said, laying aside every weight and sin which is so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. As I've said many times, he differentiates between the weight and the sin, and I believe that a lot of times we let ourselves be overtaken with the weight of this world, with the weight of cares and anxieties, with the weight of what is tomorrow actually going to hold. Friend, he said, casting all ye care upon Him, for He careth for you. Let me ask you this morning, what are you worried about? If you're saved, what are you worried about? Are you saved this morning? Let me ask you that question. If you ain't saved, you need to be worried. You need to be concerned. Listen to me now. I want you to understand something. You've got a Savior in heaven that died for you and went to Calvary, and He'll save you and take your cares and concerns if you'll bring them to Him. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. When you were burdened down in sin, ain't you glad that the Lord can take your sin and take your burden away and that of death and hell and save you and give you something refreshing on the inside? Ain't that good today, man? Listen, I love it. My heart was getting turned over while these girls were singing. You know why it's getting turned over? Because I do know who has tomorrow. I do know why there's peace in my heart. Listen, when the devil comes, and he afflicts and he affects, listen, and I'm going to tell you, he'll drive wedges in your mind and he'll bother you. Listen, I've not seen a Christian yet that ain't been bothered by worries and concerns that the devil comes and puts on us. He'll do it if we'll let him. I talked to a fellow one day, and I think I told y'all this. A few months back, I preached on worry. We just preached on worry. And I put it on the radio. And, that fellow called me. I've told you this story a couple of times. He called me. He said, I want you to come by and see me. And, he said, I want you to come by and see me tomorrow if you can, if it fits in to your schedule. He said, but there'll be nobody here in my office from such and such time to such and such time. And I thought, that's kind of strange. He's never told me that before. You know, there's people in and out of his office, and there's people that work for him. And I found that a little odd. And so I just went down there at that time. I knew he must have wanted to talk to me. about something. And we sat in his office in there, and he said, "You know, you preached that message on worry and how to handle worry and all those things." And he began to open up to me about, as I said a few minutes ago, about being a serial worrier. You know, there's something my wife will tell you, that when something good or something bad hooks up in my mind, it's there. You ever seen people that just can let go of things and it don't bother them? They just let go of it. I can't let go of it. I don't know how to let go of it. I mean, it's amazing how, if it's good, man, I'll hook on to it and I'll enjoy it and I'll wear it out. Amen. But boy, when it's bad, I'll hook on to it. And the next thing I know, I worried myself to death. He said, "Testing on you care." How many of us have care this morning? You know what that's talking about? That's talking about worry and anxiety. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about letting this world get us in a place out of where we lose sight of Christ. And listen, when we're worried about things out in the world, we're not doing what we should for Christ. Right? I mean, listen, if we're worried about tomorrow, listen, let me put it to you like this. You know, there's some things, and I use the word worry and care and concern and all this. I was supposed to preach revival for a preacher friend of mine in a few weeks, and we text this morning, and I knew that the revival was going to be postponed. His dad's sick, bad sick, and listen, that is a care and a concern. Do you know there's some honest cares and concerns in this life? Most y'all know what it's like. A lot of you have sat with the sick. A lot of you have sat there and listened and watched your mom and dad and watched your family and watched your friends. I listened and some of them went on to be with the Lord and some of them got better. But listen, that was a worry and a concern to you. But you know why you can have peace even during those times and even have peace now? He said, casting all your care. Our worry and our concern. You know, I look back over my life, and you know, I have been a worrier, I guess, all my life. You all don't know that. Y'all don't see that in me, but that's just me. Yeah, I mean, I can think back to when I was just a kid. I can think back to when I was just 9 or 10 years old. My sister is about 5 years older than I am. I can think back to times that when she would leave the house and go with her friends. And I remember that I used to stand at the back door and I'd wait for those cars that she left in to come back because I would be worried that something bad was going to happen. Now, why would you think that when you're 9 years old? You see how your mind... You see, I've carried this stuff all my life and just had to learn how to deal with it. You know how you deal with it? He said, "Cast it on you, care for him, for he cares for you." I've said to the Lord many times, "Lord, you're going to have to handle this thing. You're going to have to take care of it. I don't know how to handle it. I don't know. I don't even know how to turn it loose, if you want to know the truth, Lord. But I sure don't want you to have it because I'm tired of dealing with it." Let me ask you something. You ever had worry and concern that you just tried to handle yourself and deal with yourself and it'll wire you out? It'll beat you to death if you'll let it. I mean, he said, casting all your care upon him. Now, I know we care for things. I know we love things and we love people. But this is not what he's talking about. He's talking about that anxiety that comes upon us. Listen, how many of us has got care? And then he said, casting all your care. You know that word cast means to throw upon. That just means to turn loose of it and throw it. That's what cast means. Just like you cast a net. They talk about casting nets in the Bible. Just they take it and they throw it. And he says, casting all your care upon him. You know what? You know what you need to do today? If you've not already done it. And I really feel like, boy, somebody should have done something. I don't know what they should have done, but I feel like somebody should have done something. I don't know if you need to testify. I don't know if you need to come sing or pray at this altar. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you. I'm going to say today that the care that's in your heart, you can give to him. Can I tell you how much Jesus loves you today? Listen, first of all, he wants to save you if you're lost. But if you're saved, he wants to carry your burden. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? Jesus, the one who loved you and died for us at Calvary, that's got us, that's holding on to us, he wants to carry our burden.
Ain't that amazing? Ain't that amazing that he wants to have you? John chapter 14, I got to preaching over at the nursing home this past Friday. And listen, I got to the nursing home. I'm going to tell this on me, Sister Margie. I got over to the nursing home at my regular time. And I got there, and I preached at 10:30 every Friday morning, and I got there, and I noticed the parking lot was crowded. I thought, man, I had to park around back. And I walked in, I was carrying my Bible and my guitar, and I walk in, and I see all these people in the area up there where I generally preach at, and I thought, I still had no one against this. And I thought, man, we've got a crowd for service this morning. Man, what a crowd. And then the further I got in toward Miss Francis's desk, because the receptionist out there, and I set my guitar down, and I looked over there, and I thought, today is their Valentine's Day party. And the preacher has showed up early. I was supposed to be there at 3 o'clock, not at 10:30. And I thought, man, alive. But you know, I got over there, I come back at 3 o'clock, and listen, I got to preaching out of John chapter 14, out of verse 1, where he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, if it were not so. Listen, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You read over a little bit later in John chapter 14, Jesus talks about sending the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He said, if I go not away, the Comforter cannot come. He talks about him coming that shall be with you, or that is with you, and will abide in you. And he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. You know what he does for us? He comes to us during those times of care and anxiety. And you know, if we're not careful, we'll hold on to that thing. We'll hold on to it. And we'll say, Lord, I need some help. But we're not willing to turn loose at him. He said, casting all your care upon him. Listen, I know what he can do. When I turn loose of it, I've seen him work many times. You may not have ever seen him work, but I've seen him work. I've got down in my study and prayed and said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And then seen him come by and do things beyond what I could ever imagine. I've seen him work. Listen, you just got to turn loose of it. Cast him all you care. What's worrying you today? What's worrying you, dear child of God? What's worrying you, dear saint of God? What's your worry? Say, I've got it under control. That ought to be your first worry if you think you've got it under control. You ain't got it under control. He's got it under control. Amen. Why don't you give whatever you're worrying with to him? Notice what that scripture says. Casting all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. See, we what? Our care and our anxiety. Our care and our anxiety. Well, you know, I don't know why the Lord made us the way that he did. I want you to take your Bible and go to Psalms 42. I don't know why the Lord made us the way that he did, but he did. And he made us as emotional people. And I've learned, and the older I get, sometimes more emotional I get. I'll just be honest with you, when I was a young man And in my late teens and early 20s, God could squeeze my heart, and I'd get excited. There wasn't much else that could really tire me up sometimes. But I'm going to tell you, there's been plenty of times that I've went before God and just told him, I just didn't know. I didn't know, Lord, how you going to handle this? How you going to deal with this? And, if you look in Psalms chapter 42, and many times we've read this passage of Scripture, he said, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? You know, the enemy, he's wanting to find God. The psalmist is. He's searching for God, but his enemy's telling him, where is God? And listen, how many times have we ever looked up to heaven and said, Lord, where are you at during this time? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept holy day. Let me park right here in verse 4 and say, when I remember these things. You know why some days
And listen, not every day's like this. And I don't want you to feel bad for you preacher and say, our poor, pitiful preacher and stuff like that. But when I do have bad days, my mind tries to drift back at the times that I can remember when God did come by. I always know that it ain't going to be like this. It ain't going to be like this. Something's going to give tomorrow. I'm going to let him handle it. And something's going to give tomorrow. It may be bad today, but tomorrow will be a better day. You say, well, what if it ain't a better day? Come tomorrow. Tomorrow will be a better day. When I remember these things, I remember how God... You know, one day I just sat down, and in my study, I was kind of having a bad day. And I just sat down, and I penned out all the answered prayers that I could remember. I mean, I just sat down. And I mean, just starting writing down from things that I could remember about how God's moved because I talked to him and because I asked him. The times that I've been worried and wondered about things and he gave me peace on it. And the times that I've needed him to move and he's moved. You say, that's all just coincidental. See, that's the devil, by the way. You ever had the devil tell you, well, that's just coincidental. God really didn't do that. He didn't hear your prayer. And that devil will jump up on your shoulder and he'll say it didn't work out that way. Everything you're doing is just wasting time. Everything you're doing, it ain't real. I mean, just like the enemy said to the psalmist right here, where is thy God? But I believe he's real today. I believe he's real. Friend, I believe he's so real. I talk to him. Amen. I carry on a conversation with him. And then the devil jumps up and says, well, you're just praying to nothing. I know he's there. I know he hears. Listen, sometimes we don't hear him, and sometimes for whatever reason he hides himself sometimes. But he always shows up. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I've gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. Then he asked himself, you know, he said, I went on to church. I went on to church. I praised the Lord. I sung in the choir. I done everything I needed to do. Verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? See where the soul's at? It's cast down, ain't it? You know, one of the things that I pray, especially when I go to the nursing home, and I do pray this so that they will hear me pray this, is the very fact that, Lord, if there is one here that is disheartened or downtrodden, I want them to be lifted up today. How would you like to stay in one of those places? I'm being honest today. You know, that's one reason I go. I go because I believe the Lord wants me to go. What is it? True religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless. And the widows in their affliction and to keep yourself unspotted from the world. Is that not true religion? And man, I do that because God spoke to my heart about going over there. But listen, another reason I want to go over there is to be a bright spot in somebody's day. You say, you think you're a bright spot? I hope to be. I hope to go be a blessing to somebody. And you know, most of the time when I go over there to be a blessing, I generally get a blessing. It never fails. I mean, I used to go in Miss Miller's room, and especially if she got a little sicker, and she wouldn't come out to meetings so much, and she was in her 90s, and I would go in Miss Miller's room, and I'd just sit down and talk to her, and we'd just begin to talk about the Lord. And it really never failed. But every time that I'd go talk to her, and we'd get to talking about the Lord, fellowshiping around him, he would inevitably show up. It was inevitable. And boy, she'd get to talking about him and what he had done. Like I said, she was in her 90s. Raised 6 boys. I said, God had to be with you to raise 6 boys. One of them made preacher. I think sometimes we miss the Lord. We just miss him. We get so cast down sometimes. He said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me?" When it ain't quiet on the inside, disquieted. The inside is in uproar. He said, "Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." Most y'all know where I'm going with this. He said, look, he said, "You have hope in him, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." God is eventually going to show up and smile on you. He said, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee." Looky there. Remember. "From the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and of the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance." Let me end with verse 11, and I'll come back. Notice he said he's going to be his countenance will come and smile on me. But then right here, he said he's going to be the help. My countenance. God will come by and show up, and you know what that'll do for you? That'll help this. That'll help this because it's helped your heart. Look back. I want you to see something about the psalmist right here. In the whole overview of this chapter, he was like this, wasn't he? Do you not read that? Do you not see that? What did he say right here? He said, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down in me, therefore I will remember thee in the land of Jordan and in the Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar deep, causing the deep, the noise of the water spouts, all thy waves and thy billows." He said, "I'm covered up with it all." He said, "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life." He said, "The Lord's going to command his loving kindness in the daytime, and even in the night his song shall be there." But look at verse 9. "I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me?" He's up here, and then all of a sudden he's back down here. "Why have you forgotten me? Why am I in the shape that I'm in?" You know, we've been studying the book of Jeremiah on Wednesday nights. Take your Bible and go to the book of Jeremiah. Go to the book of Jeremiah. And somewhere around chapter 20, Jeremiah makes a statement over here in chapter 20. Is 20 where I am? Yeah, chapter 20 is where I want to be. Jeremiah's been preaching the truth and telling the truth. And I mean, they hate Jeremiah. They hate his guts for telling the truth. As a matter of fact, he gets thrown in jail in the stocks. And listen, and down here, after he gets out and he still prophesies again, and in verse 7 he said, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed, and I am in derision daily, and everyone mocketh me." Jeremiah looks up to heaven. God gave him a job to do. God told him to go out there and prophesy what I give. And he said, "As long as you prophesy," he said, "they're going to be against you, but I'm going to take care of you." Go back to chapter 1. That's what he says. He said, you'll be like a brazen man. He said, "They can't hurt you. They're going to be against you, and they're going to fight against you, but they can't prevail against you." A lot of times we think the devil's going to get us, don't we? And you know, he looks up to heaven, Jeremiah does, and he said, "Lord, you've deceived me." He said, "You've lied to me." Now, on the inside, or on the outside, ain't none of us would sit here and say that we've ever looked up to heaven and said to God, "You've let me down. You've not done what you said you was going to do." But have you ever on the inside looked up to heaven in a time of
of not understanding what's going on, in a time of struggling, and in a time of troubles and care and anxiety, in your heart you looked up to heaven and you said, God, you lied to me. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. You said you'd take care of me and see me all the way through it. And by the way, whether you look up to heaven and tell God that or not, He already knows what's in your heart. You don't surprise God with nothing when you say, God, you've lied to me. Jeremiah said, Lord, you've deceived me. He said, you've lied to me. You've not done what you said you were going to do. You know, the thing about it is, it's not that God said that He would make all our troubles go away. It's the very fact that He would just go through our troubles with us. That's where we mess up a lot of times. We think that God, when we pray and we cast our care upon Him, for He careth for us, we think that our troubles are going to go away. We think that our problems are going to be done away with, and that this whole situation is just somehow magically going to vanish. You know, sometimes it does, don't it? Sometimes it just goes away, vanishes into thin air, and you sit back and you look at that situation and say, oh, I don't know how that happened, but boy, it happened. But you know, there come more times in life, though, it's not the fact that the problem and the trouble vanishes from us, it's the very fact that He gives us strength to go through it. He gives us the ability to stand up and go through it. He gives us the ability that in the midst of it all to lay our head down at night time and go through it. And to have peace and rest. I came over here one Sunday morning years ago, and I was so down. I don't remember what had me down. I had been fighting. And most of y'all know what I'm about to say. So this is for people that don't know what I'm about to say. But I remember turning the curve up here, and this is for the new road coming through, and I can remember turning up and coming up the old, and I don't remember what we listened to on the radio coming to church. I don't remember. But I remember as we turned off that CD or whatever it was, I remember the radio went back over to Brother Ted, and he was preaching on the radio, and he was fixing to close his broadcast. And I just remember for probably about the last 30 seconds, one of the last things he said was, just hang in there, dear Christian, the Lord's going to help you. And it's almost just like the Lord just put a stamp on that thing and said, I'm going to take care of it, and I'll handle it. You know, it's the little things that seem to help us a lot of times. Maybe a song. You know what? Them songs may have helped you this morning. Don't you love singing? I do. I love singing. You know, when Madison walked up here and she was looking at me, I said, don't it feel good to get volunteered to sing? And she just cross-eyed at me and went on, you know. you know what teenage girls do, you know. Just roll your eyes. I really wanted to preach what I was going to preach this morning, and it just seems like the more that I stood up here, I didn't really know how to pray while I was praying, but I knew that I wasn't supposed to preach what I had in front of me. And so while I was praying, I was telling the Lord, just give me some scripture to start with, and I'll preach on how to handle worry and concern, and that's where we ended up at. But cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. I want you to understand something this morning. Oh, He cares for you. He does. He cares for you this morning. He cared for Jeremiah. Even though Jeremiah looked up to him and said, Lord, you lied to me, he still cared for Jeremiah. Do you know that even though the psalmist in Psalm chapter 42 said, I can't even get before God, you know the Lord cared for him. Job chapter 23, when Job said, I look forward and backward and left and right and I can't see him, but the Lord cared for him. You know what Job said? Job made a statement over there that I find very interesting in Job chapter 19. He said, though he slay me, talking about the Lord, though he slay me, yet I'll trust him. God's going to kill me out of this whole thing. This whole situation is going to kill me, but I'm going to trust him. You may feel like something's going to kill you this morning, but I want you to understand the Lord wants to help you. And you need to trust him. Let's bow our heads this morning across the house. I'll give you what was on my heart. Get us a little music this morning, Bud Jen, if you would. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet and keep your heads bowed this morning while the music plays. While if your head bowed and you pray, and if you need to come and pray, I want you to come this morning. Listen, there ain't no need to leave out of here in worse shape than once you come in here. They don't need to leave out of here with care and concern and worry. You may be lost this morning. That thing is worrying you to death. It's worrying you to death. They don't need to be like that. Just come and get saved. Oh, Jesus wants to save you. Died for you. We face trouble and these care and concern. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? It's no accident them songs were sung. And it's no accident that I couldn't get away from it. Most time, if I can get away from what I feel, I'll just go ahead and preach what God gave me the day before, whenever. But when I can't escape it, friend, he's wanting to help you. And he may have already helped you. You may have already gave it to him. And if you have, that's great. But there's no need to leave out of here in worse shape than once you come. He said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you.